Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts. The world around.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ask 1041 FM KMOX. Happy Friday. Thanks again for all the birthday wishes online and otherwise. We took pretty good care of that cake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What cake? It's gone.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. It was a disappearing cake.
Yes, it was.
That is a birthday cake to me, is a yellow cake with chocolate icing.
Amen, sister.
That's what my mom always made me growing up, and that's just where my mind goes.
Yeah, my mom always made me banana cake.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
And I've not had...
With what kind, like vanilla frosting kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah, man,
sort
those
of like
good.
A cream cheese frosting kind of
no.
thing.
Oh, well, no. So the kind you would do for like a carrot cake.
Like a carrot cake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I love... It's not cake, but banana bread is one of my favorite things. I think if you made it cakey, it would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love a good spice cake, carrot cake, banana
cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to think of any cake I don't like.
Mm.
I can't think of a single cake I don't like.
Not a big fan of the German chocolate cake.
Same.
Yeah, don't put no coconut on
that
there.
That was my mom's specialty. Evidently, she made a great German chocolate cake.
Really?
But I didn't.
Yeah, and Phoebe made that for her a couple times, right?
She said, I'll never do it again because it was so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Phoebe's a really good baker, and she made a German chocolate cake for my mom. She's like, that's the last one she's going to get.
So, I got a question. How did it get called a German chocolate cake? Like, where's the coconut connection to Germany?
Got me.
Let's look it up.
That's a... Never in my life I'd have had that thought. Now I'm thinking, wait a minute. Is that a more modern invention? Like German-Americans, maybe?
Maybe.
I can't imagine they had many coconuts in Germany back in the day.
The dessert has no connection to Germany.
Oh, well, there you go.
Its name is misleading. It was actually invented by an American who developed a sweet baking chocolate for the Baker's Chocolate Company in 1852.
Okay. So that's just they needed a name.
His name was Samuel German. Okay.
It's a dude's name.
No. That can't be. That's silly.
They should have called it a Samuel cake.
Yeah.
Samuel chocolate.
I learned something today.
Me too. I think the whole audience did.
Because I think every one of us thought, oh, it's Germany. Like, yeah.
No, carrot cake doesn't have carrots in it. It was just invented by Tommy Carrot.
Except that it actually does.
This time of year reminds me, Wheels, when I worked on the farm at Losh's. It was so glorious. I mean, it was hard work, and back then I hated it, but in hindsight, it was great. And on the weekends, we would get a couple thousand people coming out for the fall festival, and we'd have pumpkins and, you know, just the whole bit. And every year, we would build a maze out of hay bales. And so one year, the kids were coming out, and they were scratched, and they said, there's a demon in there.
Uh-oh.
And they were for real bleeding. And so me and my friend had to go in there and see if there were any, like, hay bale wires sticking out or something.
Demons?
It was a farm cat. So there's a farm cat sitting in there just waiting for kids to walk by and smacking them.
That's a mean kitty.
Yeah.
That cat's like, get out of my house.
And then another time when I was a grown-up, because I had Nick, so I'm 32, 33, Nick's about 33, and we went over there with my dad, and that's when my dad had Alzheimer's, but he was still like, he could get out and, you know, go places, and so we went there, and we're buying, like, pumpkins or something, and Nick goes, look, Daddy, Grandpa's getting in the maze, and I turn around, and my dad's on his hands and knees crawling into the maze, and that was worse than the cat. We had to go in after him, and he was wily.
Was he just navigating?
Oh, he was just going through like a spider monkey.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I got to say, I like how Dave's mind made the connection there when he was like, I was a grown-up because Nick was there.
Yeah, I really did.
That's how you're like categorizing
right. Well,
the period of time.
If Nick wasn't there, well, I wasn't a grown-up yet.
No, I really was. I was like, 23 or 33?
That's definitely how I judge time, though.
Yeah. You want to do some flashback or fast food?
Yeah, it's up to you. Which one would you rather do, Flashback Friday or fast food news?
Let's do fast food.
Okay. So let's start with some Domino's. They are expanding their bread bite offerings. I personally really enjoy the Domino's breads. They are doing garlic bread bites and cinnamon bread bites. Bread bites tossed in cinnamon and sugar and served with a sweet icing dip cup. Sounds delish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The extra value meals are back at McDonald's starting on September 8th. We talked about this a little bit the other day. It's basically limited time specials. A $5 sausage McMuffin with extra egg, extra value meal, pardon me, and the $8 Big egg. Mac extra value meal.
Back to desserts. Who has the best fast food desserts?
Taco Bell, the Cinnabites.
Yep, Cinnabites.
I'm actually going to go for, and I don't consider this cheating because the Taco Bell cinnamon Cinnabon things are Cinnabons. I'm going to go with Burger King.
He loves that Hershey pie.
Has the chocolate Hershey pie that is to die for.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that.
We'll say Wendy's has a pretty good cookie.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I did not know that they served
cookies.
Yeah,
it's like a chocolate chip toffee cookie thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Arby's? I can't remember. One of them has a good one.
Yeah. Someone's got a cookie.
Yeah. There's Cinnabon things from Taco Bell, though.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
I can't get Taco Bell without ordering 12 of those now. Like, that's the reason to get Taco Bell.
They go down
Bell
real
for me.
Easy, don't they?
They do, but the thing is they know that I'm hooked, and I swear they're more expensive every time I get Taco Bell. They're like,
She'll pay it.
She'll pay it. She's a loser.
Dude, on that note, I got a sandwich on the way to baseball practice last night after here to go coach. Because I was going to be there till 9. I didn't want to wait till 9 to eat dinner. I went to Jersey Mike's.
Dude.
It's super good. I love Jersey Mike's sandwiches. But I hadn't been in a while. A regular size drink and chips and a sandwich was $17. And I'm talking about just the regular size 7-inch sub. I'm not talking about a foot long. I'm not talking about the extra, no extra add-ons, nothing. Just the way it is on the menu. $17.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Jersey Mike's, man, what are we doing? I love it, but I'm not going back. I don't understand.
I love Jersey Mike's, but yes, everything is quite expensive these days, which is why McDonald's is doing stuff like the extra value menu. Pizza Hut is adding some new crispy chicken pizzas. Hmm. They're doing the Nashville hot chicken pizza and the chicken bacon ranch pizza. I think these are available through November 9th, so plenty of time to try those out.
I'm going to be craving the pizza from today.
That was delicious.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
That was quite good. The
toppings are great. But the crust makes it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The loaded Italian sandwich is back at Arby's. Now, this is obviously a re-release. I have never gotten this, but it's thinly sliced ham, salami, pepperoni, melted Swiss, shredded lettuce, sliced tomatoes, red onion, banana peppers, and garlic aioli on a toasted sub bun. And the people are very happy this is back at Arby's.
Let's try it.
Wingstop has launched a new smoky chipotle dry rub flavor. That sounds good.
I didn't get that. We just got that this weekend. They're so good.
And pumpkin pecan pancakes are back at Denny's.
Ooh, that sounds heavy.
It does. That sounds like quite a meal. So two buttermilk pancakes made with pumpkin pie filling and glazed pecans.
God.
Topped with a pecan pie sauce, served with two eggs, hash browns, and two applewood smoked bacon strips or sausage links.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you need a nap after.
Oh, yeah.
They also have a bourbon bacon sirloin dinner. I think you can just imagine that one for yourself. And a chocolate cinnamon milkshake.
Remember when we went to Denny's after the Halloween show?
Yeah, that was fun. That was really fun.
That was fun.
And we got the pancake bites or something.
Yeah.
I forget what they were called. They were delicious. Okay, this is my final fast food news story, and it's not fast food, it's candy news.
Oh.
But Mars has released their 2025 Halloween candy lineup. I just can't believe we're talking about Halloween already, but it's been like fall vibes around here lately, so I guess I shouldn't be too confused about that. So M&M's is doing a pumpkin pie milk chocolate candy. So basically M&M's infused with the flavor of pumpkin spice. Yeah, I don't
we
know
don't
about that.
We don't have to do pumpkin everything.
Yeah.
They're also
Take
doing an M&M's Halloween blend. Now, this sounds good. It's peanut butter, peanut, or milk chocolate M&Ms in a mix of black and orange colors for Halloween.
Now that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got the Snickers pumpkins. It's just a Snickers bar, but it's in the shape and design of a jack-o'-lantern. I love any of the like shaped Snickers bars. Those are extra good for some reason. Twix Ghoulish Green. These are fun-sized Twix candy bars with a green cookie for Halloween.
The Reese's pumpkin's pretty good.
Oh, you mean the shape?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank God I don't put any pumpkin flavor in there, though. Yeah.
You said pumpkin.
I know.
Pumpkin.
I said pumpkin.
I'm trying to fit in.
And finally, they have the Skittles Shriekers. This is a bag of fun size pouches of Skittles with a few sour flavored Skittles mixed in that are indistinguishable from the regular ones until you eat them. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, very cool.
If the only candies were fruity, chewy, tangy, I would never eat candy.
Really?
Wow, that's a sad thing.
Yeah. Just don't have a taste for it.
Oh, it's good, man. I'll get you some Airheads.
I like the sour candy. I like the...
Never been into it.
The sweet, fruity candy.
Yeah, chewy sweet tarts from back in the day.
Would you like to round out this segment with some pop culture news, Dave?
Sure.
Okay, so I've been wanting to talk about this all week. We've got some good pop culture stories, some celebrity gossip for you guys. I'm going to start with a couple who reunited on the red carpet. I didn't think this was ever going to happen. Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen just reunited on the red carpet of his new Netflix documentary. It's called AKA Charlie Sheen, and they were like hugging and taking pictures together and looking very comfortable with each other. So that's nice. I mean, they have kids together, so it's nice whenever parents can get along like that.
Charlie Sheen still winning?
I don't think so.
No, but I think he's admitting he didn't win now. So that's a form of winning.
Yeah, yeah.
I think his new shtick is, boy, I was really a piece of crap.
I was on drugs.
The older I get, the more it seems like life really is about redemption. You know, like...
Well, you can always keep going and get better. I think that's the lesson to learn in life. It's not like, do something bad so you can redeem yourself. It's more like, man, if you've messed up, it's never too late. Like, yeah, you can become a better person. Mm-hmm. You can level up. You can strengthen yourself. Here's another pop culture story. Judge Judy just went on Amy Poehler's podcast. It's called Good Hang. And she basically had a message for the ladies out there. She said, if you've got no income of your own, you don't have an exit plan in your relationship. She says, if you can't make your own money, you're handing someone else the remote control of your life.
I have an Amy Poehler issue.
What's up?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I have
it's just
no
a thing.
Idea. I just don't like her. Or Kate McKinnon or Ryan Reynolds. For some reason, those three, when I see them on TV, or Kevin Hart, I guess I'm just a hater. anyone who's funnier than me. I don't know. Just have a disconnect there.
That's okay. So earlier this week, Howard Stern was supposed to make some sort of announcement about his radio show, but then I had seen that his cat died that morning. So now the announcement is coming this coming Tuesday.
Does anyone care anymore?
I don't think so. The story has kind of petered out over the past, especially when it's like, I have a big announcement to make. Just kidding. It's coming next week.
Yeah, my cat died.
Yeah, everyone throws their hands up and goes like, oh, okay, fine. Dances with Wolves actor Graham Greene has passed away at the age of 73. He had a lengthy illness. We don't know exactly what the illness was, but people are paying tribute to him.
Really liked
him. Co-stars and such. And let's do one more pop culture story. Let me pick the best one here because I've had some good ones. Oh, okay. Meghan Markle. Our favorite person, has shut down her Shop My store. So a Shop My store is a platform for creators to earn affiliate cash from recommending different products. So if you had one, Dave, you would just pick your favorite things and then DGS listeners could go buy stuff and you're going to get a commission for the stuff they buy. In general, I guess I don't have a huge problem with celebrities doing something like this. I mean, it feels a little greedy. It feels especially greedy when you're a duchess and you have a million other deals going on. Yeah. But she, her store is shut down. I don't know if someone got to her and said, like, hey, this is actually a really bad look and you should chill out. But they have taken the store down. But it, before it was shut down, it had stuff like J. Crew, Reformation. Those are both, like, you know, kind of pricey brands.
I think so. I made a lot of money in my career. I didn't keep a lot of it, but I don't think that I have ever had enough money for that thing to kick in where I become obsessed with it. You know? It's always just been like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can pay for my groceries. I can get a nice car. I just, it never became like a keeping score or a you-know-what measuring thing. Thank God. I don't want that.
No.
I don't need something else to be anxious about in my life.
That's a good point.
We're doing this in the band. Mm-hmm. I should sing this.
I thought this was on the list of songs you might sing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I can sing this. I mean, I can hit the notes, but he's got such a distinctive, growly voice. No one has a voice like him.
He does a song with the Lonely Island about the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Does he really?
It's funny.
That's very
funny. Really great.
And now I will be singing that to myself the rest of the day.
Man, this tragedy in Lisbon where this tram, the cable slacked and it killed like 21 people. I feel vindicated in all of my fear of like gondolas and things like that. You know, I mean, like, I know that life is a risk. And every time you get in your car and every time you get on a bus, every time you get in a plane, you're taking a chance. But man, when something is like, when something doesn't seem right to you, you know, like a gondola, like this thing's up in the air on this cable, and sometimes you should listen to yourself.
Was there an accident?
Go ahead, call me
or something?
No, I was just going to say, if you did, you'd never go anywhere.
That's my point. Yes.
You'd never fly in a plane. You'd never.
Your neighborhood's fine.
Because, I mean, like, I don't know, how many funicular accidents have you heard of in your life?
Funicular?
That's what this thing was called.
Oh,
it's a,
gotcha.
It's a funicular. It just means it's drawn by a cable up a hill or a mountain.
Do you know what caused it?
Cable went bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, that happens. I don't know. It's like the first one I've heard of in a lot, maybe ever, but there's a car accident outside my house literally every day. Well, not outside my house, but down the street.
Yeah, we got to check
down
that
the
out.
Street.
I was going to say, you probably need to move.
Let's put it this way. I had, up until that accident with this thing in Lisbon, I had had more car accidents on my front lawn than I had heard of funicular accidents.
That's weird.
Because some teenage girl smashed my kid's car when it was parked in front of our house and pushed it up onto our lawn.
Damn.
Yeah, she was not investigated, not proven. I'm pretty sure she was texting.
Mm. Oh, I was going to ask you guys that. I was driving home last night and just clocking how terrible people drive and looking at their phones. I think it's now illegal to do that.
It is.
Has it changed anything, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's illegal in Missouri. Is it?
I think it's they can't pull you over for that.
But they can add on?
But they can add on.
Because in Illinois, it's definitely illegal.
Okay.
They make a big deal on it. In fact, you're not even allowed in Illinois to hold it up to your head to talk.
I honestly think, I know this is a cliche, but I think it's true that everyone thinks like, oh yeah, no one should text, but I'm pretty good at it. Like, I think I can do it. I can look at my phone. I'm better than people.
I think everyone does think that, and I think those are the people causing the horrible accidents.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you get a message. You pull your phone up, you look for a split second, and then you look down, or you press the voice to text thing and you send a reply. I'm driving by people that are just flat out reading the internet on their phone while they're driving in the left lane on 70. Like, it's always up, and you can see them scrolling with their thumb.
No.
Like that.
I wouldn't.
That's the bizarre thing to me is like, do you not care if you die?
He's right there.
He wouldn't do that on the.
Yeah, down 70.
No.
But you do it on Route 3.
Yeah, when there's no one around me.
I mean, until they are.
You're alone on Route 3?
Yeah.
I'm not like defending looking at your phone while driving, but I will vouch for most of the times when I'm taking Route 3, there's not that many other cars around.
Fair enough.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time to talk to Bernie Miklas. Hey, Bern.
Hey, happy Friday.
Thank you, man. So I want to get to KU Mizzou since I have one of each in my household. But let's start with the Cardinals, and let's specifically, we talked to Ricky about an hour ago, talk about your memories and thoughts about the celebrated 85 cards.
Well, that team was remarkable for, you know, the fact that I think that team defined more than the other two great teams of the 80s in 1982 and 1987. I think the 85 team defined what Whitey Herzog baseball was all about, because that team stole 314 bases, and that's the fourth highest total in a season in major leagues since 1900. And that team also had a dose of power with Jack Clark that the other teams didn't have. Clark was hurt in 87, at least by the time they got to the postseason. That team had more gold glove talent defensively. That team had a guy that came out of nowhere to steal over 100 bags in Vince Coleman, a rookie. You know, that team had a rookie closer who, Todd Worrell, who was exceptional, had a better closer than the teams did in 83, 84. It just was a better all-around team. And the athleticism and the baseball savvy and the ability to just terrify other teams with speed on the base paths just set them above the other Whitey Herzog teams. And if I could add one more thing, I came up with a great stat today. In the 1980s under Whitey Herzog, the Cardinals stole 2,045 stolen bases, right? 2,045. Now, the reason I bring it up is because that's the highest number of stolen bases in a decade by a team in baseball history.
Bern, would Whitey Ball work today if you could execute it well?
I think that's a tough one to answer. I think speed and defense and pitching always helps you win. But I also think the fact that the Cardinals played on the old Busch Stadium, the second Busch Stadium on AstroTurf, and that it was a really fast carpet, it was a really fast surface, and that made the speed extra important.
Yeah.
They covered more ground. You play on grass, you're still going to be excellent defensively, but the impact's somewhat reduced because you're playing on grass rather than a fast carpet. But the other thing, you know, it wasn't just the speed and the stolen bases. I mean, you have to pitch great. You have to have a great bullpen. You have to play great defense. You got to do a lot of other things. You got to execute really well. So I think it could work, not to the massive extent it did for Whitey, but we're seeing more speed-oriented base these days. There's some good teams that rely on stolen bases more than they have.
I've always been a believer that modern baseball has, to their own teams, to their own detriment, have given up on the stolen base. And I know it's coming back now. It's great because of the limitations on pickoff moves, and that distance is slightly shorter because the bases are a little bit bigger, so the gap has been brought. But, I mean, there's no other offensive play that is successful on average 75% of the time. And the good base dealers are 90-plus percent. And it's just baffled me that for so many years, baseball teams would rather have the 7% chance of a two-run homer rather than the 80 or 85% chance of a runner on second base with that same hitter at the plate. But I think it can be what it was either, because preparation's different. You know, they've worked a lot about shrinking that time that pitchers take to get rid of the ball, catchers throw great, all that stuff.
I look at it a little differently because I was born and raised into Earl Weaver baseball in Baltimore. And one of the top things on his list of, like, how to play the game, he said, you get 27 outs. They're precious. Don't waste them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love stolen bases if your team is really good at stealing bases.
Correct.
You know, I don't see the point of, like, you know, Mike Matheny did that stuff. And the media would get all excited in spring training.
We're going to be aggressive this year.
We're going to steal a lot more bases. And their success rate on stolen bases was hideous. And all they were doing was giving up outs.
Yeah.
So, no, I think you steal when you have the horses to run and they know what they're doing. And more teams are doing that. But I don't think it'll ever get back to the way we saw those Herzog teams do.
No, and you know, you talk about, we've talked about it a lot on Redbird Rush Hour. You have as well on Gas House and on your videos, and also just in your regular columns too, that, you know, the lacking of power for the Cardinals is a big problem, not just because of the modern game, but it's kind of more where you rank, and power is going to end up being the biggest need moving forward again. So they're 27th in baseball in slugging this year. They're 28th in isolated power. So that just takes out singles, right? Because they're pretty good. Like, they rank okay with batting average league-wide. And I saw a tweet today, Bernie, where they're, I think, 11th or 12th in batting average with runners in scoring position. But this just kind of goes to the point that power is necessary and is needed.
In today's game, it's important.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it, the answer is not to, like, try to steal bases when you're lousy at it.
Right.
And that's the problem. And I've been saying this for a couple of months at least now. You got a real problem when you don't have power. You got a real problem when you're losing the home run race. And you got a real problem when you can't come up with other ways to reliably score runs. Like, how do you have a dependable offense when your lineup is unathletic, the athleticism is really low. Well, there's a couple guys that are
sure,
athletic.
Sure.
But as a group, your lineup, your regulars, very low in terms of athleticism and speed, and very low on power. So that's why I kind of laugh at the people that want to got to blame the manager, got to blame the hitting coach. How exactly would you propose the Cardinals to score a lot of runs when they don't have power hitters and they don't have base stealers?
You know, one thing I think is a big success in 2025 for the Cards is the move of Contreras to first base. Mm-hmm. I've been impressed.
I was looking at that today. He's third in outs above average. His range at first base has been exceptional. Yep. And, you know, I think he digs out throws really well, but the range surprises me because he's a catcher. You know, we never associated him with being quick as far as, like, moving. Yeah, moving a little bit laterally behind the plate. I'm talking about moving to cover ground to his right.
Yeah.
And he actually covers a lot of ground really well. And that's, again, I'm being a jerk again, but it's like, I always laugh when people say, well, they really miss Goldie at first base. No, they don't. What are you talking about? They just don't.
Nope.
That's factually untrue.
Yep.
So, Byrne, what are the chances of KU surprising the Tigers?
Listen, I respect that team because I respect their coach. But here's the deal. Their quarterback, Jalen Daniels, very, very talented. But he's also inconsistent. And I did the numbers on this. And his performance as a road quarterback isn't close to his performance when he's at home. Also, the people say, well, you know, he could give Mizzou fits. So he sure could. But Mizzou has got a lightning fast front seven. They've got linebackers who can run like hell. Even their defensive linemen inside are really quick. Their edge rushers are quick. They have a couple of safeties who are really quick to the ball. They have the kind of defense that will, if everyone does what they're supposed to do, can keep him contained and prevent him from these long breakout runs because they're fast. It's an SEC defense. It's not a Big 12 defense. And the other thing, I was talking about this earlier today with Randy Carricker. Missouri has a true SEC home field advantage now. Eli Drinkwitz, among all the great things he's done, that's a really big one. You know, it's one thing to get a sellout crowd. Okay, a lot of people do that. But he has created an environment there, a game day atmosphere there, that makes it a very intimidating, imposing place for visiting teams, which is the way it should be in the SEC. And the Mizzou Tigers have that now. I think it's going to be a tough environment for KU.
Bernd, what do you think it is that prevents us from being higher in the SEC, being more competitive?
Listen, I think the financial commitment is there. I think Drinkwitz has done a really good job with the transfer portal and the NIL program. I think a lot of it is, if you look at where they've been the last 2 years, they're now 22-5, and there's only about 6 or 7 teams in the country who can match that record. I think a lot of this, call me Truman the Tiger, but I don't think I'm being a homer. I think a lot of this, dude, has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of these voters, basically go by helmet decals.
Yeah.
So it's a team like Mizzou just is automatically downgraded because they're not one of these SEC brand names, right? Like, that's why I laugh at these polls because people don't watch the games. No. I don't know how you can have 22 wins since the start of last season and 5 losses. And just about every one of your losses were to really good teams. They weren't like embarrassing losses. How can you not be one of the top 25 teams in America right now? And how can you be considered going into the year, oh, they're about the 12th or 13th best SEC team? What? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
they've done enough to show that they're better than that.
Doesn't make any sense. The polls in the off season, like the preseason polls, they're worse than meaningless. I mean, they are entirely there to build television audience for early season games that otherwise might not have sex appeal. Right? It wouldn't be number 12 against number 18. It would just be nobody against nobody. And you don't have anything to promote, which is why those preseason rankings even exist now, because they don't matter. The only thing that matters is the committee. It's October when they start doing the playoff polls, the playoff rankings.
Yeah, that's what I pay attention
to.
But I do think the polls, the American college football fans are obsessed with the polls. So yeah. I do think they matter because it conveys a certain prestige, whether you deserve it or not. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have enough prestige, it's usually because you're not ranked in the polls preseason. You don't have that jump start, that awareness, like people looking at you.
Yep.
And no offense to you, but my brother and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago or whatever. And by the way, Miami great win over Notre Dame. But Miami is a classic example of a helmet decal.
100%.
What the heck has Miami done?
Blown every important game for the last 10 years?
Yeah, but every year, man, every year, dude, they're top 8, top 12, Have you watched the coach during games?
Yeah, he doesn't know how to do math.
No.
He can't tell time.
No, but seriously, I think Miami totally represents what I'm talking about.
I agree.
People voting based on what Jimmy Johnson did, based on what Dennis Erickson did, based on what Howard Schnellenberger did, and based on the brand name.
Yeah. I wish I had an argument, man. I don't.
No, I know. And that's why I brought it up, because I know you get it, my friend.
Yeah.
I do. And there's a bunch of examples of helmet decal voting.
Bernd, tell us about Saliga before the weekend.
I will. Thank you very much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we don't. I thought the same thing when I was pulling the song up.
Huey just owned the 80s.
Huey rocks.
I feel like I saw him very briefly at Lou Fest.
That'd be cool.
Maybe 8 or 9 years ago.
I know I tell this every time we talk about Huey, but he was really well known for, after gigs, he would tell people where he was staying, and he would go to the hotel bar with all the fans, and he would say, as long as you guys don't make this weird, I'll sit down here and drink with you.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like, just chill. Take it easy. Let's not go nuts. And if people got out of hand, you just go upstairs.
Okay, let's say you run into your like favorite celebrity. Okay. Do you think you would be able to not make it weird and hang out for an hour?
Yes, but I think I would be weird faking it. So, you know what I mean? What I'm saying? Sort of like when I used to play band gigs until one in the morning and I would go through White Castle at 2:30 in the morning. And it was so important to me that they know I'm not drunk. And so I would be talking like an English Earl or something like that.
I'm enunciating very clearly.
Yes. And I think if I met someone that was super famous and really big to me, I would go over the top with this is no big deal and I would seem weird. Mm. How about you guys? Which I've done. I'm sure I've done that.
I think I would probably be weird. I wouldn't want to be, but I think I would.
I wouldn't want to be.
I think it would seep out, yeah. Because, like, even if I meet someone and, like, I follow them on Instagram, it's hard for me to not be like, oh, I saw what you shared the other day. Like,
yeah. It's. I mean, when I met Billy Corgan, for example, I felt genuinely comfortable.
Yeah, he was really cool.
Yeah. He made it really easy.
But at the same time, I was very just giddy being around.
Yeah. I think a lot of it depends on the vibe of the famous person.
Yeah.
You know, like if they're just normal and acting normal and engaging, well, then it's easy to be normal. But when they're aloof or they're kind of hanging back and not really doing anything, well, then you're going to feel weird because you'd be like, oh, I don't know. Should I talk? Does he want me to talk? Do I want to do this? I mean, you know, I most of my experience is around athletes, you know, either retired Hall of Famers or current ones. And a lot of times it's never the point where I walk away going, well, I was awkward, weird, because if I was, I don't really care. I mean, people are weird sometimes. It's okay. But like they set that tone. Some of them are just like super relaxed. Like you're talking about with Huey Lewis. You know, I got David Backus was like that. You'd see him in public. We did a charity event once and he just went behind the bar, started pouring beers for people and was like just a normal, cool dude. And everybody there, fans, everybody was comfortable.
Yeah.
It was super easy. And I've seen others where they're like kind of off in their own corner and they don't mind people talking, but they don't really give that vibe out either. So a lot of it is on that person, not like responsibility, just the way it goes is kind of how that person sets their tone.
Yeah. I remember I was disappointed. We did this, Phoebe made the finals of a wiffle ball home run hitting thing. And the celebrity person was Matt Holliday.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked me to interview him. And so he came walking up and I approached him. And he didn't know who I was or that I was scheduled to interview him. And he pretty much blew me off. And then Dan Buck, who was running the thing, goes, hey, this is Dave Glover from 97.1. He's here to interview you. And he was still not Mr. Personality because he's not Mr. Personality. But then at least he was like gracious. But that was disappointing.
Happens.
I don't think anyone should ever blow anyone off.
I would think generally no. Generally, I would agree with you. I mean, sometimes people come at you a lot.
Of course. That's just being self-protective.
Because I mean, I've seen some guys, I'm not talking about me because I'm not in that position. You know, even when you are, it's not the same as somebody who's more famous, like a professional athlete or a musician or whatever. But sometimes the approach of the person approaching is just like, uh-oh. This is going to be a lot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.